Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
There's this old song that says, I was lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, abused, scorned, talked about it, sure as you born. That's a story for a lot of us. In Mark chapter 14 and 58, it says, many false witnesses spoke against Jesus, but they began contradicting each other. They were lying, and the lies were contradicting the lies, but they still lied. In John 8 and 48, the religious leader said, you are a Samaritan devil to Jesus. Now, don't you just wish you were Jesus just for a moment? Just for a moment. You could, like, do anything. You could just, like, make people disappear. I mean, like, if it were me, if I were Jesus, I wouldn't even let them get to devil. If they said, you are a Samaritan, poof, by the time they got to devil, before they said it, they just disappear. I'd say to the people, what happened to them? What happened to the people? Oh, they were just talking about me and they just disappeared. Do you have something to say? Jesus simply said, no, I don't have any devils in me, for I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I would have taken another approach. Jesus was beaten and he was abused. He took it. The Bible says in Luke 22 and 63, the men who were guarding Jesus made fun of him as they beat him. Once again, I would smile. And then somebody's hand would have disappeared. Somebody's nose would have went to their ear. Somebody's mouth would have drifted to their forehead. And I would have said, hit me again. But Jesus suffered all these things to experience our pain so that we could be healed. In Hebrews chapter 7 and 25, it says, that is why he is always able to save those who come to God through him. Folks, Jesus came to release you from your emotional wounds, those from the past and those from the present. You have got to come to him. Don't try and do it yourself. So many times we try to manage our own pain. That's what those opioids is all about, managing your own pain. A lot of people have died from trying to manage their own pain. Don't you try to manage your own pain. You need to come to God. You need to come to Jesus with the pain in your heart and in your lives. Jesus gave us an invitation in Matthew 11, 28. He said, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you the rest. Labor there in the original language, it implies a reduction of strength as a result of trouble and inner emotional pain. This is all about your emotional life. This is all about the things that have happened to you. Jesus said, come, give it to me. Give me all those things. I can relate. I've been through suffering. In fact, I suffered so that you can be healed. Now, the devil is tempting to give you all of the things that you think you need in your life. He is always running neck to neck with God. If God promises something, the devil's right up there promising you something else. The only thing you got to understand about the devil is he's a liar. I said, Jesus said, there ain't no person who lies more than the devil. Jesus said, he's not only a liar, he's the father of lies. Jesus went on even further. He said, he lies so much, he doesn't even know the truth himself. When the devil lies, he thinks the lie he told was the truth. He's so twisted. You can't believe the devil. You can't believe the devil's advice. Oh, hey, if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. If you don't take things into your own hands, this is what's going to happen. Listen, if you don't think about yourself, your life, man, it's toast. You can't listen to the devil. He ain't on the level. I got that from a cartoon. I want to let you know something. He is not on the level. You may feel overwhelmed, but with God's help, you can make it. Now, can I just tell you straight out about all of the tests, all of the problems, all of the things that you have gone through in life and ever will go on through the life. I have said it before, and I'm going to say it again. It is all fixed in your favor. Come on, say whatever I've gone through, whatever I'm going to go through, it is fixed in my favor. Now give God some praise for that. I'm asking you to praise him in faith. And now I'm going to read you the scripture to prove it. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, no test. Say no test. No test. Say no temptation. No temptation. That comes my way. I'll read the rest. That comes my way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to know and remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through. Is someone listening to me today? Because the Bible says the word of God is eternal. God doesn't change his mind about that verse. That's a universal verse for all people, for your situation. Your situation is fixed. That test has been fixed in your favor, regardless of what life is thrown at you. But you've got to choose what type of life you want. See, do you want to maintain God's deliverance, his purpose and blessing in your life? Or are you going to allow your reason and your emotions to drive your destiny? And this is what a lot of people are doing in their lives. I'm talking about Christians too. Listen, when your life seems like it's falling apart, remember that God is right there every moment. He's right there beside you. The things are dropping off and things look like they're going to hit you in the head and things look like there's just no way out and God's just standing there smiling. Why? Because he's God. The Bible says for men, this is impossible. For men, I'm toast. For men, there's no way. But with God, all things are possible. And he's standing right there. And all you have to do is cry out and say, Father, help me. Peter was going down. He took the faith to step out of the boat and start walking on water. I know some of the things that we go through in life may feel like walking on water. You say in your mind, nobody can do that. Well, Peter did it for probably about a minute. You can do all things when God says, come. Come on, you can do this. My word says you can do this. I'm right here in front of you. Come on. See, God never leaves your side. God is always right there. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. God is there with you. In Isaiah chapter 43 and 1, he says, don't be afraid, for I will deliver you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. So when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you walk through fires of oppression, you will not be burned up in the flames. And they will not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God. I am your deliverer. Now let me read some more verses to you to build your faith. In Psalm 120, verse 1, it says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayers. He rescued me. Folks, listen, it does not matter what your situation is today. God is with you to rescue you. Come on, be someone who will help me in this message today. Look at the person next to you and say, it doesn't matter what your situation is. God is right here to rescue you. Say, he did it before and he'll do it again. Thank you. Now you need to speak God's word over your circumstances. It's not enough to say, I have hidden your word in my heart. No, you need to speak his word with your lips. You've got to speak. The devil doesn't know what's in your heart. That's why he keeps attacking you. Jesus used the word of God against Satan and said, it is written. It is written. Let me tell you what is written. And finally, he just got so exasperated with Jesus and said, look, I'm out of here. Peace out. Or unpeace out. I can't take you anymore. Jesus always throwing that word up in my mouth. You've got to speak God's word over your circumstances. See, because the Bible tells us that God's word is living, that it's powerful, that it is active. In fact, Ezekiel 12 and 25 says, "For I am the Lord, I speak, and the words which I speak are going to come to pass." God is waiting to hear his words from your mouth so that he can bring it to pass in your life. In Jeremiah 1 and 12, the Lord said to me, "I will hasten my word to perform it." But you've got to hear it coming out of your mouth. In Psalm 17 and 4, it says, "By the words of your lips, I have kept away from the path of the destroyers. I have kept myself from Satan's attack by using the words of your lips, Lord." See, speaking the word of God heals us, but it brings discomfort to the devil, because the word of God is a powerful weapon against the enemy. That's why the Bible says the sword of the Spirit. The problem is most people have the sword in their sheath. They didn't take it out. And you're saying, "God, help me. God, help me. God, help me." God's saying, "Unsheathe the sword. Use the sword. Speak the word over your situation."
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Starting this Sunday, Pastor Steve will lead us through a powerful new series from the book of Revelation. It's a message for the moment, and it starts this Sunday. Here's Pastor Steve.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and beginning May 4th at our Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., I will begin teaching a series on the book of Revelation. I believe we're living in the season for which this book was written. Bible prophecy and current events actually confirm this truth. You see, Jesus Christ will soon return. And the book of Revelation says in Revelation 1 and 7, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all of the nations of the world will mourn because of him." Now, if you believe the Bible, you must also believe that Jesus Christ will return, as it says. The book of Revelation details the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ and after. This book begins with a promise of blessing, and it's to all those who read, hear, and keep the words of this prophecy. You know, there have been many people who have been afraid to study this book, but it isn't about fear, my friend. It's about faith, understanding, and being ready to meet the Lord when he returns.
Join us starting May 4th for Revelation, the Unveiling, a series that opens our eyes to God's plan and prepares our hearts for what's to come. Don't miss these powerful Sunday services. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In Ephesians chapter 16 and 17, it says, "Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, but you better take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to defeat him." Listen, folks, it's time for you to tell the devil, "This is not my first rodeo with trouble." Now, he's going to come to you, but you've got to be bold. You've got to stand up against the devil. Come on, look at the person and say, "It's time to be bold and stand up against the devil." Look, you got to say to the devil, "Listen, God delivered me before. He's going to do it again." You've got to use the word of God, because the word of God heals you, but it defeats the enemy. Now, I want to give you some more word. In Psalm 103 and verse 3, it says, "He forgave all my iniquities." The devil many times will try to bring back your past, the things that you did in your past, things that were shameful, things that you know were not right, things that a child of God should not do. But when the devil shows you your past, you show him his future. You are on your way to the lake of fire. "I have been delivered from my sins, but you're going to pay for your sins in the lake." The Bible says he forgave my sins. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. God crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's always satisfying my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. There's a psalm in Psalm 107 and 8. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. See, these are the things you need to be quoting to the devil. When he's coming against you, just say, oh, you want to stay? I'll read these verses to you. Because this is my testimony of what God is doing in my life. You can't get me to turn around. You can't get me to look back. And let me tell you why. In Psalm 40, verse 1, devil, are you listening? Although my prayers were not answered for a while, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And then he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and out of the mire. And he set my feet on a solid rock. And he steadied me as I walked along. In fact, he's given me a new song. I don't have to sing Marvin Gaye anymore. He's given me a new song. I don't have to sing Katy Perry anymore. I brought it up to today. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will begin to put their trust in the Lord. You don't want to mess with me, because the more you mess with me, the more I testify for him. Devil, you might as well get out of this house. The Bible says all the joys of those who trust in the Lord. When you're feeling sick, you need to remind the devil, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, a chastisement for my peace was upon Jesus. And with his stripes, I am healed. I'm healed now. Yeah, I feel pain in my body, but my spirit is healed. And it won't take long from what I am experiencing in my spirit to get to my body. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed by the word of God. How many know that you are healed through the word of God? In Psalm 30 in verse 2, it says, oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, oh, Lord. People had counted you out. People had said you got the C word. You going down. You going to heaven. But the Bible says you brought me up from the grave, oh, Lord. You kept me from falling down into the pit of death. Verse 11 says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning, and you have clothed me with joy, that I may sing praises to you, so that I may not be silent, O Lord God. I'm going to keep on giving you the thanks. Folks, listen, you've got to confess God's word for victory. You've got to do this when you're attacked by life. Folks, listen. You've got to understand something. It's not time to look back. It's time to keep on looking forward. Now, there's a story in the Bible in the Old Testament. I'm going to read it for you real quick. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, it starts. It's about Abraham, how he interceded for Lot and his family. The Bible says, the Lord said to Abraham, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, I'm going to go down there and have a look for myself. In fact, I'm sending my angels to do it. So the men, that is the angels, turned away and they went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still in front of the Lord because he had a relative in Sodom. His name was Lot. And he said to the Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous people in the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare them? And he said, look, Lord, let me help you with this one. You're pretty slow in answering that question. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. I mean, he's repeating this back and forth. The Lord's saying, okay. Far be it from you, Lord. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do what is right? So now he's just trying to tell God, he's trying to be a lawyer. With God, you don't want to kill my loved ones and my relatives, Lord. Now, I know it looks pretty bad. They're in Sodom. I've heard the same things about that place. But you don't want to kill the good people with the bad people. So then the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous people, then I will spare the whole place for their sakes. See, Moses got the Lord to agree, finally, to only destroy the place if he couldn't find 10 people. Guess what? He couldn't find 10 people. So the angels came to Lot's house and they said, look, you got to get out of here. We can't find 10 righteous people in this place, including some of your family. They're not righteous, but because Abraham prayed for you, we've got to get you out of here. Well, the Bible says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot and his family to hurry up and get out. He said, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest they become consumed and punished with this city. Folks, can I just tell you something? The whole world is under judgment. I said the whole world is under judgment. I wish I had time I could talk about the rapture of the church. The church will be delivered from the tribulation period that's about to come. All right. But people who have not received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and even some people who are so-called Christians, are going to be left behind. And the wrath of God is going to hit this planet as never, ever before. And here the angel is saying, hey, look, get your wife, your two daughters, and get out of here right now. He urged Lot. He was more concerned than Lot was concerned about the danger. People are more concerned about what's happening in their lives today than the pending judgment that is over their head. The Bible says they continued to linger until the angels took their hands and took them out and said, escape for your life and do not look back. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. So Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and brimstone from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them, along with the other cities and the villages of the plain, wiping all of the people out and every bit of the vegetation. Verse 26, but Lot's wife, who was told not to look back, looked back as she was following him, and she instantly turned into a pillar of salt. She had been delivered from the destruction, but she still had the sin in her heart. Folks, you need to understand something. It's important that when you walk away from your past, you disconnect the heartstrings of the past. You're out of there. See, some people want to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You can't do that. You've got to totally disconnect. You can't look back. You have to go forward. I'm gonna end with this verse in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. It says, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. I say, and some people who say they're believers as well. Can right and wrong be partners? Can light have anything in common with darkness? Can Christ agree with the devil? Can a believer share a life with an unbeliever or even an unbelieving Christian? Can God's temple contain a false god? Clearly, we are the temple of the living God. And God said to us, I will walk with you and I will be in you and among you. I will be your God and you will be my people. And then the Lord says, but get away from unbelievers and separate yourself from them. The angel said, we're getting out of here. But don't look back, because if your heart is still attached to the past, you'll never make it. God told me to tell you, don't look back.
Thank you for joining us again today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio Messages. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is part two of Dealing with Feelings, Don't Look Back. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are praying for those who are sick today, whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally, or mentally. You are the healer. Lord, your word says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, or our peace, was laid upon him. And with his stripes, with his death and his resurrection, we are healed. I pray for every person, Lord, under the sound of my voice, and even those that we are praying for, that you will bring healing to them spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for divine healing today. We believe your word that by his stripes we were healed. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.